Prunella Scales is Sarah France in After Henry by Simon Brett, with Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, and Jerry Cowper as Claire. Sunday lunch.
Ah. Now look at that, Sarah. You can get a whole set of decorative medallions commemorating Winston Churchill. It's called the Finest Hours Collection. Each medallion is individually sculptured.
Really?
Yes. Crafted in 22-carat gold, plated on solid bronze.
Oh, well.
It says, the purchaser of this elegant set would not only become the proud owner of a work of art, but also be making a very shrewd investment.
Oh, yes.
It's a limited edition, Sarah.
Because of its limited appeal, I would imagine, Mother.
No, have a look. Have a look. Now, wouldn't you say that was tasteful?
I'd say it was hideous. I mean, who on earth would give house room to stuff like that?
Sarah, you're too young to know what we went through during the war. I know it's fashionable to debunk and diminish everything these days, but if Winston Churchill was still around, you wouldn't have all this soccer violence and personal stereos and hamburger wrappers all over the streets.
You do sometimes sound incredibly crusty, Mother.
Oh, so it's called being crusty, is it? And one defends one of the greatest leaders this country has ever had.
Mother, I was not making any criticism of Winston Churchill, but I don't think stuff like that is doing his memory any service at all. Those medallions are the most aesthetically unpleasing things I've come across since the last Eurovision Song Contest.
Oh.
The papers are just so full of tat. Every Sunday it's the same, and all the rubbish that comes with them. When I go to a shop and ask for Sunday papers, I want Sunday papers, not a whole library of mail-order catalogues.
You do sometimes sound incredibly crusty, Sarah, dear.
All this garbage makes me feel crusty. I mean, look at that, a golf ball personaliser. Stamp your initials on your own golf balls.
Ooh, let me have a look, dear.
I mean, who in the world would want to buy a golf ball personaliser?
I would.
What?
It'd be just the thing for Wallace Merton's 75th birthday. He's always complaining about getting his balls mixed up.
Oh, I see. Look, Mother, when Russell comes...
Oh, and that's rather nice.
What?
Little leather signs you can hang round the neck of your bottles.
Eh?
I'd rather like to have my sherry bottle saying De Casa Prescott on them.
Would you?
Oh, and this toothbrush with a digital clock in the handle could be very useful.
What for?
Sorry?
What would a toothbrush with a digital clock in the handle be useful for?
Really, Sarah, for a supposedly intelligent woman, you're sometimes very obtuse. It'd be useful for telling the time while you were cleaning your teeth.
Ah. But while you're cleaning your teeth, you'd have your hand round the handle, so you wouldn't be able to see the clock anyway.
Oh, Sarah, dear, don't be childish.
Listen, Mother, when Russell comes...
Lunch all under control, is it?
Yes, Mother, potatoes on. Just got the cabbage to do.
But the cabbage should be on by now. We'll be eating in half an hour.
Mother, cabbage does not take half an hour to cook.
I always cook it for 3/4 of an hour.
Yes, but tastes have rather changed about how one cooks vegetables.
My tastes haven't changed.
Nowadays, people prefer vegetables cooked for a shorter time. People like them al dente.
Al dente?
That way they have more taste, more texture.
Texture? You mean they're all crunchy? I was always brought up to believe that raw vegetables were rabbit food.
Yes, well, I was brought up to...
What?
Nothing. It's just that I don't personally like vegetables that are soggy.
Soggy?
Vegetables that are boiled for 3/4 of an hour do tend to get just the teeniest bit soggy.
Oh. But every Sunday lunch throughout your childhood, I boiled the vegetables for 3/4 of an hour.
Yes, and every Sunday lunch throughout my childhood, the vegetables were soggy.
You never complained.
Well, I didn't complain because I didn't know any better.
Anyway, I hope you've put some bicarb in with the cabbage.
What?
Bicarb. Bicarbonate of soda.
I know what bicarb means, Mother. I just have no intention of putting any of it in with the cabbage.
But it brings out the colour.
It also takes away the goodness and the taste.
Oh, I do hate people who are faddy about food.
I'm not faddy, Mother. I just don't like vegetables that are soggy.
Still, if you're boiling the potatoes for over half an hour, they should get nice and soggy.
Not boiling them.
Oh, you're roasting them?
No, I'm steaming them.
Steaming them? You don't steam potatoes, Sarah.
I am steaming the potatoes, Mother.
No, dear. In certain circumstances, you steam fish when someone's ill or something. You don't steam potatoes.
Mother, these are beautiful new potatoes. You take my word for it, they will taste wonderful steamed.
But it takes all the goodness out. Things should be allowed to boil in their own juices.
And a bit of bicarb.
Not for potatoes, Sarah. As I said, things should boil in their own juices and lots of water. It's healthier.
In the same way, I suppose, that you think baths are healthier than showers, Mother.
Exactly, Sarah. I'm so glad you understand.
Anyway, look, when Russell comes, lay off Claire.
What?
Look, you know we haven't heard the full story of why Claire came back from Australia.
No, but I'll find out. Don't worry.
No, that's what I'm saying. I do worry. I don't want Australia to come up in conversation.
Why ever not?
Because Claire's still in a pretty emotional state and I don't want her upset. I just want this to be a nice, civilised Sunday lunch without any emotional traumas.
I see.
So, just avoid Australia, right?
It's a big place, you know. Fairly difficult to avoid it completely.
Oh, Mother.
Oh, very well, dear. I'll be the soul of tact.
Has to be a first time for everything.
What did you say, dear?
Nothing.
Where is Claire, by the way?
I better give her a shout.
Yes, and I really would put the cabbage on now, Sarah.
I'll put it on when I want to, Mother.
Now, this briefcase-sized portable solarium looks rather useful.
Claire, love! Nearly time for lunch!
There in a minute. Oh, good heavens! Sarah, you nearly gave me a heart attack. Were you waiting to pounce on me?
No, Russell, I was just crossing the hall. Well, come on in.
Hi, thanks. I brought you this.
Oh, bless you.
Well, it'll go well with the pudding. That is, assuming we're having a pudding.
Yes, yes, apple crumble, the full works today, Russell. Traditional English Sunday lunch.
Oh, lovely.
Well, not quite traditional.
Oh?
Chicken rather than roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
Well, suits me fine.
And the vegetables won't be soggy.
Good.
Heard from Bob?
Oh, yes, he rang this morning. God, he sounded so hearty. I don't know why I end up with someone who keeps wanting to go on sailing courses.
At least he doesn't drag you along.
Oh, couldn't think of anything worse. I did go sailing once, utterly pointless exercise. You can see where you're trying to get to, but instead of going straight there, you spend all your time zigzagging back and forth.
Horses for courses, Russell?
Yes, well, give me a good book any day, even a bad book. I'd read Geoffrey Archer if the alternative was going sailing.
Anyway, lovely to see you. You don't know how welcome you are.
Oh, thank you.
As a catalyst, you see.
Well, you three are a slightly combustible combination at the moment.
On our own, yes, we are a bit. But with you here, we'll all behave ourselves.
Sure?
No, but I hope so. I'll just give Claire another shout. Claire, Russell's here!
Morning.
Here's Russell, Mother.
Lovely to see you, Russell.
And you, Eleanor. You're looking younger than ever.
Russell, you're as bad as Bob.
What's your drink, Russell? Sherry, gin and tonic, wine, whatever?
Glass of white wine, be lovely.
Fine.
Bob's not with you?
No, he's sailing.
Oh, I didn't know he was a sailor.
I'm very keen.
I've always had a soft spot for sailors. How about you, Russell?
There you are.
Thanks.
If you'll just excuse me, I must go and do things in the kitchen.
Like put the cabbage on, I hope.
No, Mother, just finish off the bread sauce. The onion and cloves have been infusing for a while and I just...
Onions? Cloves? What are you talking about, Sarah? To make bread sauce, you simply open the packet and pour on hot water.
Actually, I make my own bread sauce, Mother.
Make your own bread sauce? What on earth do you make it of?
Bread.
Good heavens. Russell.
Yes, Eleanor.
There's something Sarah and I wondered whether you could do for us.
Oh, what?
It's a sort of favour. We'd be most grateful.
Anything I can do to help?
Well, it's just that it had come better from an outsider.
Oh.
And you are an outsider.
What?
I mean in family terms.
Ah, yes.
Look, you know Claire's come back from Australia.
Yes, that news had sort of percolated through the system.
And I don't know if Sarah told you this, but while Claire was in Australia, she was living with a man.
Well, Sarah has kept me more or less up to date with what's been going on.
Oh, has she? Anyway, so Claire was living with this man called Julian.
Yes, I met him. He came to the shop once.
Oh. Well, look. Now she's back, and clearly the relationship didn't work out. But Claire hasn't really told us anything about what happened.
Well, perhaps she doesn't want to tell you anything about what happened.
But we want to know.
Well, lots of things one wants to know and never finds out about.
But in this case, we need to know.
Why?
Well, Sarah is Claire's mother.
Yes.
And I'm her grandmother.
Yes.
Well, so we need to know, don't we?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I thought by definition a private life should be private. The individual should only reveal as much of it as he or she wishes to. You aren't in favour of all this snooping into people's private lives that the sensational Sunday papers go in for, are you?
No, of course I'm not. But I'm talking about within the family.
And within the family, snooping's all right, is that it?
Yes. Within the family, it doesn't count as snooping. It's just keeping oneself informed.
Ah.
For the good of the other individuals involved.
I'm not quite sure I see the distinction.
Well, there is one. You can take my word for it.
Oh. Well, all right. what do you want me to do?
Well, we just thought, Sarah and I, that as someone who's not family, it would be easier for you, casually, to ask Claire about Australia.
I see. So I say sort of, how is Australia?
That kind of thing, yes.
And Claire says, fine, and that's probably the end of the conversation.
Ah, well, no, Russell. You see, you mustn't leave it like that.
No?
No, you must ask some supplementary questions.
Supplementary questions?
Yes. Subtle supplementary questions.
Oh, I see. Like, sort of, I say, how did you like Sydney?
Yes.
And she says Sydney was fine too.
I think you might have to be a bit more specific than that, Russell.
Specific, but subtle.
That's it.
Oh, well.
And casual. It must be casual. You mustn't give Claire the feeling that she's being pumped for information.
I see. Specific, subtle, but casual.
Exactly.
Something on the lines of, oh, and by the way, Claire, what did actually happen between you and Julian?
Yes, that'd be fine.
Are you sure that Sarah wants me to do this, Eleanor?
Of course, Russell. Sarah and I are both equally keen to find out what happened.
Mm.
I mean, am I likely ever to suggest something that Sarah wouldn't approve of?
Well...
Oh, Claire.
Hello, Granny. Hello, Russell.
Hello, Claire. Well, I'm sure Sarah wouldn't mind if I got you a drink. What would you like?
A glass of wine, please.
Right. There we are.
Thanks.
Well, this is nice, isn't it? Sunday lunch. I'm a great believer in tradition. Aren't you, Russell?
Yes, well, some traditions.
Mm. But I mean, all the family meeting together for Sunday lunch. That's a good tradition, isn't it?
Depends on the family.
Well...
Talking of family, where's Mummy?
In the kitchen, trying to salvage the cabbage.
Ah.
Well, Russell, you haven't seen Claire since she came back, have you?
No, I haven't.
From where she'd been when she went away.
Right.
It was Australia she went to, actually.
Ah, yes, Australia. Yes, yes, I heard that. Mm. So how was Australia, Claire?
Fine.
Ah. How did you like Sydney?
Sydney was fine, too.
Good. And, other things?
Other things?
Well, yes. You know, other things. In Australia.
What sort of other things?
You know, other things. In Australia. How were they?
What? Things like kangaroos?
Yes. Kangaroos, if you like. Did you see a lot of kangaroos?
No, not in Sydney.
No. Well, no, I suppose you wouldn't.
Wasn't there something else you wanted to ask Claire about, Russell?
Was there?
Yes, there was. Something else about Australia.
Oh.
I'm sure she won't mind telling you.
Telling you what, Russell?
About koala bears. Did you see any koala bears?
Well, not in Sydney, no.
Oh.
Goodness. You all taking a vow of silence? Hello, Claire, love.
Hello, Mummy.
We were just talking about Australia.
Oh, were you, Mother?
Russell brought up the subject.
Did he?
He was just asking Claire about how things were there.
Well, they were fine, weren't they?
What?
Things in Australia.
Yes, fine.
Good. Well, look, I've just put the cabbage on so we can eat in a couple of minutes.
A couple of minutes, Sarah? It'll hardly have reached room temperature.
And if you sit just over there, Russell.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, I've automatically started carving. Do you mind?
Mind? Why should I mind?
Well, it's just, I've got into the habit of doing it since Henry died, but...
What Sarah means, Russell, is that carving's man's work.
Man's work?
Yes, traditionally the man of the family carves.
Oh, I'm not the man of this family.
No, but I just thought...
You carve, please, Sarah.
Oh, all right.
It's funny, that really is one of those examples of reverse discrimination.
What?
Well, it's very sexist in this day and age to think carving should only be done by a man.
Well, it's traditional.
I'm sure it goes back into prehistory. Man as the hunter and gatherer. He would go off into the primeval forest for a few days, come back with some dead animal, and then portion it out with his flint knife for the rest of the family.
Yes, all right, I'll buy that. But I honestly don't think it's appropriate nowadays. I mean, there is a big difference between the primeval forest and Sainsbury's, isn't there?
Not on the Saturday before a bank holiday, no.
Yeah, well, all right. But usually it's the woman who goes off hunting and gathering in Sainsbury's anyway.
Well, that's true.
And the average man spends virtually no time at all in the kitchen.
Well, you spend a lot of time in the kitchen. You and Bob are both excellent cooks.
Yes, but I'm afraid, given the way society is organised at the moment, Bob and I hardly qualify as average men.
Oh, but I'd have thought you'd be absolutely typical of... Oh, I see what you mean.
Now, Russell, what would you like?
Oh, serve the others first.
No,
it must be ladies first.
That's very thoughtful of you, Russell, dear. But you see, you're a guest.
Ah.
The rest of us are family.
I see. So being a guest makes all the difference, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yes, it means we're nice to you.
Anyway, Russell, you have a leg, won't you?
All right.
What, would you rather not have a leg?
Well, I...
I'm sure you will, Russell. Men like legs.
Yes, I'm sure some men do. In my case, I'm afraid I prefer breast.
Well, that's fine. I'll cut you some breast.
That's quite a surprise, Russell. Do you know I'd have put you down as a leg man rather than a breast man?
Oh, really?
There you are, Russell.
I hope you don't mind, Sarah. I just, do prefer white meat. I'm sorry, it's just another example of reverse sexism. Men always assume to want the legs. Eating legs is man's work. Living up to that kind of macho Henry VIII image, I suppose.
Yes, while the delicate females nibble on tender morsels of breast.
Exactly. Now, as a man, it'd be quite easy to go through life without ever knowing what the white meat of chicken tastes like.
Like Queen Elizabeth never knowing what a hot meal tasted like.
Exactly.
What? Well, that's ridiculous.
No, it's supposed to be that there was so much formality and ceremonial around in the
serving. But of course she's had hot meals on royal tours and things. I've seen her at banquets on television.
I think we're talking about different Queen Elizabeths, Mother.
Oh? Well, I think people make a lot of fuss about the taste of meat and that kind of thing. I personally don't think the white meat and the dark meat of a chicken tastes so very different.
Oh, well, fine, you can have a leg then, Mother.
Oh, thank you.
Do help yourself to vegetables, Russell. Potatoes over there, and that one next to you is...
Fresh salad.
Well, it looks like cabbage.
You wait till you taste it.
And could you pass Russell the dish next to you, Mother?
Yes, dear. Good heavens, Sarah. These peas haven't been shelled. Well, they're pretty mingy ones, anyway.
There's a marsh too, Mother.
Oh, are they? They would be.
As it comes for you, Claire.
Please, not too much.
Can I hold the potatoes for you, Eleanor?
Thank you. They look quite normal.
There you are, Claire.
Thanks.
Right, so it's just me. Everyone got everything they want?
Yes,
thank you. Lovely.
Good.
This gravy seems very thin, Sarah.
What?
Well, it's not like ordinary gravy.
Ordinary gravy?
Proper gravy.
Gravy's gravy, Mother, made from the stock of a chicken.
And what else?
Nothing else.
No gravy browning?
No, Mother.
Oh, well... This isn't what I think of as gravy. It's very pale, too.
Well, maybe the chicken was anemic, Mother.
Still, at least this gravy moves about.
What?
Sorry, Nella, not worth explaining. It's a reference to Hancock's half hour.
Oh?
Tony Hancock said something about his mother's gravy moving about.
Oh, well, Sarah certainly moves about. Moves about all over the plate.
That was the point I was making.
I don't understand.
No, well, it's honestly not important. It's just, we were talking about gravy.
When
and,
I used to cook Sunday lunch, I made proper gravy.
How did you find proper, Mother?
It had lumps in. Not big lumps. Don't be so stupid, you two. Small lumps. Discreet lumps. That's how you knew it was proper gravy.
Ah, right. I see.
Enjoying it, Mother?
Very nice, thank you, dear. Well, that is...
Cabbage a bit crunchy?
For my taste, I must confess it is, Sarah, yes.
Ah.
I'm sure it's fine for people with their own teeth.
Yeah.
Do you have your own teeth, Russell?
Yes, they're all my own. Ah. Though four of the ones at the back are on a plate.
Oh.
But the plate's mine, too.
Claire, will you stop that childish giggling, please?
Yes, Granny.
How are the potatoes, Mother? How do they taste to you?
Well, I must confess, they are a bit...
Bit what?
A bit steamy for my taste.
Ah, yes. Well, they have lived, those potatoes, you know. There was something about them in today's News of the World.
What's that?
No, Mother. Oh, wine! I haven't opened the wine.
No, don't worry. No, I'll do it, Sarah.
Man's work.
I'm sure I can't tempt anyone to any more.
No, really, that was lovely, Sarah. Mm.
Mother, there's no need to stack the plates straight away.
But, Sarah, dear, if we've all finished...
Yes, we may have finished, but we don't have to whip everything away instantly, do we?
Well, we don't want dirty plates lying around.
I'm not suggesting they should lie around for any length of time, Mother. Not for days, not for weeks. I'm just saying we've finished this course. Wouldn't it be nice just to sit quietly with a drink and have a little break and some decent conversation before we start the next course?
You mean the pudding isn't ready yet, Sarah?
Of course the pudding's ready. I'm just saying it would be more civilised to wait.
Why?
Well... I sometimes feel as if I've spent every meal of my entire life with you hovering over my shoulder, waiting to snatch my plate away as soon as the last crumb's halfway to my mouth.
Really, Sarah?
You always appear to be slightly put out that you couldn't do the washing up before we started eating rather than after.
Oh, that's nonsense, Sarah.
Well, that's the way it seemed.
Well, this is a nice little break, isn't it? I must say, I'm very impressed with all the decent conversation we're having, Sarah.
Oh, all right. You've killed any relaxed atmosphere there might have been anyway. Let's clear the bloody table.
Language, Sarah.
Can I help?
No, it's all right. Come on, I'll do it.
If you could just open the door, Claire.
Sure.
You sure you can manage all that, Sarah, dear?
Yes, thank you, Mother.
Help yourself to some more wine, Russell.
Oh, thanks. You?
Please. Thanks.
I hope it isn't my presence that's making them snap at each other.
Good heavens, no. It'd be much worse if you weren't here. FHB.
FHB?
Family hold back from each other's throats until the guests have gone. There's certainly a lot of tension around this house at the moment.
Oh?
Because of me.
Really?
Oh, I know what's going on. They're both desperate to know the situation.
What situation?
My situation. Am I back permanently? Am I going back to my job at the Building Society? Should we all decorously pretend that the last 6 months never happened? And what actually did happen between me and Julian? Those are just a few of the questions they want answered.
And they're the very questions you haven't yet been able to answer yourself.
You know, Mummy's very lucky to have you, Russell. You're a very female man. Oh, I mean... Well, I don't mean that because you...
No, I know exactly what you mean, Claire. And it's one of the nicest compliments anyone's ever paid me. Now, you're right. They do want to know the answers to those questions.
That's all that business of you asking me about Australia was, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Oh, don't worry. You had all the hallmarks of one of Granny's subtle approaches. I knew what was going on.
Ah.
It's a pretty fair rule of thumb in this household that whenever anyone starts behaving in a way that's completely out of character, Granny's put them up to it.
Yes. And you can't tell them the answers to any of the questions.
As you said, I don't know the answers myself.
Well, not to some of them, but you do know what happened between you and Julian.
Yes.
Well, can't you tell them that? I mean, you don't have to tell them everything. You can give them an edited version.
Just the highlights? No. Look, Russell, if you'd done something really stupid, showed yourself to be really immature, totally misjudged the character of another person, basically made a fool of yourself, would you want the whole world to know about it?
Well, I'm not talking about the whole world knowing about it.
We are if I tell Granny. Be round Vera Poling, Valerie Brown on the pension counter, Sister Mary and the rest of the coven within 10 minutes.
Won't be if you tell Sarah.
No. No, you're right, but... Oh, I do find it difficult to talk to Mummy.
Hmm. Yes, I know. Particularly since Henry died.
Yes.
But there are things you want to say to her.
Yes.
About what went wrong in Australia.
Mm.
Because, well, I mean, you know, what is it? Do you hate Julian now?
No. No, it'd be a lot simpler if I did.
Do you want to see him again?
I don't know.
Well, do you think you ever will see him again?
I don't know.
Well, do you think you'll talk to Sarah about it?
I don't know. Sorry, Russell, the needle's got stuck.
Well, you could try talking to her.
Yes. Yes, I could.
Are you going to?
Oh, who can say, Russell? Who can say? Let's have some more wine.
Ugh. Do you know this woman here? Looks after children, has a PhD, is managing director of an international company she built up from scratch, is deliriously happily married, and has just had the nerve to publish a novel. Doesn't it make you want to throw up?
Who is she?
Don't know. Never heard of her. Someone a day in whose life the Sunday Times thinks is worth chronicling. She's only 34. Oh, and look, she's thin!
These velour leisure suits are only £24.99.
Ah.
They've got them in French Navy or Burgundy.
Have they?
How do you think I'd look in a burgundy velour leisure suit?
Do you want an honest answer to that, Mother?
Oh, be quiet, Sarah.
Do you know, nowadays more people listen to Radio 4 than go to church on a Sunday.
Really? Say what?
Well, I don't know. Interesting, though, isn't it?
Well, I suppose mildly.
Hmm. Must be depressing if you're a vicar.
I don't see why. Radio 4's not depressing. Well, not all of it.
Hmm. No.
Did you say I was an introvert or an extrovert?
Introvert.
Extrovert.
I see. Casting vote, Russell.
I'd say you are an introvert with extrovert connections.
Oh, very judicious, Russell.
Not bad, was it?
So that's three there. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 11, 15.
What are you doing, Claire?
Oh, Granny, I've lost count.
Well, what are you doing?
It's this questionnaire. How sexy are you really?
Oh. And how sexy are you, really?
I don't know, do I? Because you interrupted me while I was adding up my score.
Oh.
Right. 1, 3, 4, 5, 7, 11.
Could I have a go at
Granny?
After you?
More coffee, Russell?
No, I'm fine.
Anyone?
No, thank you, dear. I have a slight touch of indigestion.
Well, the way you tucked into that apple crumble, I'm not surprised.
The apple crumble had nothing to do with it. It's just... If God had intended potatoes to be steamed, he'd have given them fins and a tail.
Ah.
It says here, given the speed with which the rich countries of the world generate rubbish, there'll soon be a greater volume of rubbish than there is of people.
Well, thanks. Terrific. That's cheered me up a lot.
Sorry.
It's just the vision of spending the rest of my life wading knee-deep through discarded Winston Churchill medallions and velour leisure suits.
Could happen.
Oh, no.
What's the matter?
I've only got 28.
What does that mean?
Let's have a look. 25 to 30. My, you're a dark horse, aren't you? You look as if butter wouldn't melt in your mouth. Do I?
Sometimes.
Not very often.
But goodness, what a wonderful surprise there is in store for the right partner. The one who kindles the flames of all that latent passion. Oh.
Do pass it over.
There.
So... It sounds as if all you need is the right partner, Claire. Unless, of course, you've already met him.
Mother.
What about Julian, Claire?
Mother.
Thanks for luck, Mummy. Goodbye, Russell.
Now, would you say I was A, very sensitive, B, sensitive, C, insensitive, or D, very insensitive?
I assume that was a rhetorical question, Mother.
In Sunday Lunch, you heard Prunella Scales as Sarah, Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, and Jerry Cowper as Claire. After Henry was written by Simon Brett, and produced by Pete Atkin.